Betha.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Thank you for your patience. We were having a little technical difficulty. Time being 5:54, I'd like to call the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting to March 2nd meeting to order. There's a note to residents. All citizens are welcome to attend public board and committee meetings in person. Additionally, in an effort to maximize citizen engagement opportunities, citizens will be able to continue to participate remotely via phone or Zoom. The meetings will also be live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast 11 and Verizon Channel 29. The phone number to call in is 1-929-205-6099. The meeting number is 878-1855-8530. Then press the pound key. The link to the Zoom is also on the agenda that is posted on the website. I would just like to remind people that we're going to conduct this meeting with respect and civility, and we are being recorded by Franklin TV and possibly others. Tonight we have an EDC Plus steering committee meeting. With me in the chambers is Councillor Frangillo, Councillor Sheridan, Councillor Jones, Planning Board Chair Greg Rondo, Planning Board Clerk is Beth Wheeling, and on the Zoom we have the ZBA Chair Bruce Hunchard. Did I get everybody? Okay. So our first agenda item tonight is a discussion from MAPC, but I believe that's going to be from Brian to give us a little bit of an update about what we can expect for our March 7th meeting, for the Franklin for All public forum. So I'm going to throw it over to Brian.
Thank you very much. Just to let you know, Emma from MAPC, we've decided that she won't be coming to all of your EDC meetings, save resources for other items, you know, instead of using up all her hours on the meetings. So, Amy, who's the project manager, is on vacation. So you're stuck with me tonight. So,
all right, guys, get ready. Get tough.
Sorry. But anyway, so as far, first, I'd like to thank anybody that has been advocating for the forum coming up on Monday. It will be in this room, 7 o'clock at night next Monday. We have so far over 120 individuals that signed up. I know that Lily Rivera actually sent out a newsletter today, and on it was, please sign up for it. So I think we'll probably get some more. The majority are over Zoom. Of the 125-ish, there were about 85 that were over Zoom. So,
okay.
And others were undecided. There were some others. So we shouldn't have any problem overloading this room. But I'm hoping that at least some, if not all, of the steering committee members can attend in-house if possible. You can attend either way, great. But if you're in-house, it would be good. The way I'm looking at it is we'll open up on Zoom also early. They'll, you know, run a message or so that we'll be with you at 7 or whatever. But for 15 minutes or so, or 10, 15 minutes before the meeting, if people can, welcome people in into the meeting and have a general discussion and talk about a few things here and there, but then we'll get going with the meeting. I'll ask Chairman Hamlin if she would do an introduction for us, then would turn it over to Emma at MAPC. Emma has two other people on MAPC. They're all Zooming in remotely. They'll be handling the Zoom meeting and the presentation in general. When we get to questions and answers, which is after the presentation, I'll be handling anything on this end. I'll try to, if people put their hand up, I will call, every other, what goes Zoom back to the in-house to Zoom back until there are no more questions. And just to let you know, it Zoom will be, you know, it'll be on Franklin TV also.
Okay.
And I think it runs to about 8:30. Correct. Yeah. So it's on officially until 8:30. If there's still people that want to comment after that, even if MAPC is done and they're out of the way, we'll take over the Zoom meeting here and we'll keep doing it until people are all talked out. We're not going to shut them off until people have a, well, hopefully it won't be too late after 9:30 or so, but we'll see how it goes. Anyway, so that's a general plan of what we're doing. As far as the steering committee, you know, like I said, thank you for advocating. And if we can get a few more people out there, that'd be great. To let you know that part of the process, MAPC is doing a variety of things. You must have seen their zoning 101 document, those type of things. They're doing a variety of different things. One of the things that they're doing is a survey, which will be introduced at the meeting itself.
Okay.
Okay. So right after the presentation, if people actually want to go on, they can actually fill out the survey at that point with their cell phones or at home or whatever the case may be. That's the way they wanted to do it. I thought we could do it a week earlier, but they prefer starting it on the day. The survey is set up electronically, so you can actually ask if you have a question about a zoning district, or you can, there'll be a list of the description of the zoning districts, what they are. What is a C1 district? I'll have the picture of the map. It'll have a, you know, things of that nature. Mm. So they'll also be able to link back to the presentation on Monday night. Once it, you know, by Tuesday or Wednesday, they'll be able to, you know, watch the presentation if they do want to, or if they want to review. If they did and they wanted to review it and watch it again or watch pieces of it, they can do that. So those are some of the things. There'll be a survey link that'll be distributed. Of course, we have the project webpage that will be updated with all of these things, additional links. So I guess that's pretty much it. I just wanted to mention that we, since the last meeting, we finished up the focus groups that the MAPC held. I hear they were good. I am not involved, so I wanted to stay clear of it. I don't want people thinking, oh, Brian's here, so I don't want to say anything. I want to make sure that it's, you know, that the public, the people in these groups actually have the opportunity to say what they want freely. I understand we had four good groups, and I don't know if there's any additional comments from anybody in the town at all about any zoning issue, about any downtown development, housing, anything, and they want to provide input. You can do it in any way. You don't have to wait for the survey. You can do a survey plus a letter plus emails. You can do anything you want. These steering committees not really set up for gaining public input in a way, but that doesn't stop you from providing comment on any of the issues if you'd like to. And if anybody's in the audience or on Zoom, they're free to, obviously, if you're, you have the reins, though. I'm not going to, obviously it's your meeting. So,
yeah.
But we didn't set it up. We set it up for the steering committee to see what we're doing, give us some guidance. When we get into the document and the planning part itself, there'll be a little bit more activity. You'll be reviewing things once in a while. But feel free to to provide MAPC or the planning department with any comments and any input you want. Ask now if you have any questions. On this handout that I had here, it is really for the facilitator. It's an agenda for them, but it is just so you know what we're doing and the reason.
Could I interrupt you for a second, Brian? Can we get one to Bruce?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you email him the copies? Is that okay, Bruce?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. I don't want to forget him out there. There he is. It's a Franklin for All public forum sort of informational sheet. So, but you'll see it when you get it. It has an agenda in there as well. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. So we all know what's happening when there's like a timeline in the back.
Right. Right. Yeah. The MAPC really takes the time to think everything out every step all the way through. And that's what they do. And that's fine. But it is for the facilitators and the people in general. It's not really even though it is a public document, because I introduced it, it's not meant to be a public document. It's just something for the people running the meetings.
Okay. I would like to thank Emma and her group for the, I asked for a link to the newsletter if we could like send it out, and I got that link and things are getting posted on the website. For the meeting recording, will that be on the Franklin for All website, or will you have that link on the?
That's a good question. I will ask.
On the town website, like where should we?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, first of all, if you signed up for, if you've already registered, you will get the link information in an email before the meeting. I would expect that they would have sent it out already, but probably not. So you will get that information. For people that haven't signed up, I guess the thing to do would be to maybe post a meeting, and we can just put it right up on our calendar.
The video of the meeting?
No, we're talking about the meeting posting, you know, the posting of the meeting itself. You know, we'll put it on our calendar, and that way they can have the link.
So. I was actually talking about the video of the meeting, but
Jamie said, I'm sorry.
But I like the idea of having the link available, yes. Just like a regular town council meeting. You know, you can hit the agenda and
right,
log in.
Right. That, to get to the meeting after the fact, yes, that will be in multiple places. The link to get to the
and the survey the as well.
And the survey.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Does anyone have any questions for Brian? You guys are all has everybody signed up? I haven't signed up yet. I just assumed I was
we can just add plus seven.
Okay, add plus seven.
Copy
okay.
Like that.
And I had another question and now I forgot it. But Bruce out there, do you have any questions?
Well, I got a lot of questions. Can you hear me okay?
I guess yeah, that's my we question. Can hear you.
Okay. All right, great. I got a new set of earphones here. I just wanted to make sure they were working. So the steering committee is going to make some suggestions when all this is done to the council on what maybe there'd be some sort of zoning changes or something like that. Is that how this is going to work?
I'm going to throw that over to Jamie, okay?
Bruce, that's correct. So ultimately, the report... after all the sessions, the forums, you know, we hope to have another one. What we're going to do is there'll be a report. They'll come out with some recommendations. You know, and the recommendations that MAPC puts forward, you can either move those onto the council as this group, this steering committee. You can also take their suggestions and modify them. You know, it's not like you have to do exactly what they tell you to do. But it's to give everybody an idea of a spectrum of a range of choices and ideas that come out of these sessions on what to look forward to over probably the next 5 or 10 years. So we expect there to be a lot of recommendations, and that's correct, Bruce. This group will recommend them on or not onto the full town council and planning board for consideration.
Okay, great. Does anybody want to hear what my ideas are of the downtown center?
Yes.
3 minutes. Yeah.
I was gonna say, wait, Teresa.
You've been waiting for this moment for months.
Well, not really, but I mean, you know, everybody, everybody assumes that this is going to end up like Hyannis or Falmouth or some little quaint little town center. You got to remember, and some of these other towns have the same thing. We have a state highway that runs right through three quarters of it. You know, Route 140, the state highway. No matter what you do, you know. The way I see it, no matter what you do, they're all going to end up, probably any developer is going to end up in front of the ZBA to begin with, because are the restrictions that they got to go with. I mean, if you want somebody to come in, a developer with that's going to spend some money, and whether you call it beautification or development of the downtown area, they're going to have to spend some money to acquire property. There isn't a lot of property there. A lot of the biggest one single piece, I think, is owned by Rockland Trust. And that was for sale a couple of years ago, and the deal never consummated. But probably because of the cost. Now, if you want some housing, you know, you're gonna, if somebody's going to build housing, I'm not so sure that that's the most economical way to develop the downtown because of what you're going to get back for, what the developer's going to get back for. And let's just clear the air that all the downtown development is based upon what a developer wants to do or how much money they want to spend. The town can want A to Z, but, you know, they have to make a decision when they're going to get it. And I got this thing that shows the zoning when it came in, and most of the properties that were built downtown were built pre-zoning. So that's why they are what they are. And I don't think you're going to get anybody to come in. You know, a couple of the largest landowners, other than Rockland Trust, you know, one guy owns the old J.J. Newberry's, which Jamie didn't know what that was until I explained it to him one day. You know, he's been trying to do something for a long time. But, you know, and then there was talk about putting a parking garage or getting the air rights from the MBTA and going there. I mean, I go back a long way when they proposed urban renewal a long time ago. Maybe if they did that, the downtown would look different now. Maybe it would be what everybody wants. What everybody wants and what everybody's going to get, probably two different things. Because, like I said, some of the buildings, the older buildings in town, are probably going to have to be torn down to or renovated quite extensively to make anything work for anybody that wants to invest any money in the center of town. In my opinion, if you didn't have the two banks and the post office in the center of town, you might have a ghost town, you know, because one of the latest ones to move out was the blind people, or not blind, I mean, blinds, Venetian blinds, or drapery people. They moved out. Not the blinds. They moved out down to you know, East Central Street, next to the pet care thing, the pet sales. And I don't want to say Petco because I don't think it's that. But you know, anybody that's coming, you know, you're going to have to reduce the setbacks. At one time, commercial one was zero setbacks all around. I understand for residential, you might want to have a parking aspect in that, but, you know, you have to remember, you can't make it so restrictive that nobody's ever going to come in and do anything downtown. When you're talking about the heights of the buildings, just remember that there was recently a couple of buildings put up on East Central Street or right at the beginning of town. Those are four stories. They're probably about 50 feet. Dean Bank, for instance, is just about, you know, according to the president's admissions, almost 50 feet in height, somewhere around that vicinity. So, you know, when you're talking about four stories and 50 feet in height, you know, that's what you're looking at. I'm not sure what the building across the street, how high that is, or the Victor's shoe store over there, how high that particular building is. But, you know, nobody's going to come in and build if they can't get the square footage on the small lots that are available in the center of town. You know, we had somebody come in to try it. They were rebuffed a little bit by the planning, who was the planner at the time. You know, she put it out there. She was afraid that nobody was going to finish the project. And you saw where that went. They finished the Franklin Furniture building, came out very nice. I think that's three stories, but Dean ended up buying it. You got a couple of commercial things downstairs, and you got apartments or condos or whatever you want to call them upstairs that Dean uses for dorm. You know, across the street, they were going to do something like that, but the town was in a quandary about how to determine what the floor height was or what how many floors they were going to have, because the back of that building goes in on a parking lot level. So there was a big quandary over that. They tore the theater off the building. They built a beautiful building around the corner, first building on Summer Street, you know, and then they built condos out in the back. But you know, that was a development that everybody thought they were going to tear down that whole block and build something new. It never came to fruition. I just don't see that, you know, being from the development side years past, that I'm just curious as to how somebody's going to come in and build what people want other than a quaint downtown. But like I said, if the post office wasn't there and the two banks, you know, you probably wouldn't have as much traffic there, other than the fact that you're on Route 140 going through the center of town. So, and, you know, and if you leave it the way it is, everybody's going to be before the ZBA looking for some sort of relief. So, and that way, I'm not sure that they're going to do that, because it's just another bite at the apple. You know, some of the planning board meetings have been, people have been proposing things almost similar in nature. This guy needs a traffic study. One guy proposes giving money to the town in lieu of if they got to change the light sequencing, whereas you got another project up the street that's almost the same thing, higher, almost the same number of units. That one doesn't even mention, I didn't watch the whole meeting, but I saw some of it, heard about it. So, you know, I mean, everybody's got to get their ducks in a row. And I think zoning is probably the best way to get to it. But, you know, what kind of relief you're going to give everybody, and setbacks and that stuff. You know, everybody would like to have a, be able to walk down beside each building and stuff like that. But, you know, if you want the building to be, if you want the center of town to be rebuilt, you know, when it says Franklin for all, but it's only going to be Franklin for the people that want to go in a quaint New England town. But anyway, anybody's got any questions?
Bruce, I'm going to politely cut you off because you're over time.
Okay.
But thank you for your opinions and your input. You know, this is really important. I think this is the beginning of the journey to see if there are different ways to do the things that we're trying to do. That's, I think, what we're trying to find out. Like, what are the potential solutions. But there is a new book. There is a new, there's a bookstore in Emma's Quilts. You're talking about the quilt store.
Yeah.
But there is a bookstore there now. So,
okay. Yeah.
But that's good. So there are some things down there. Does anybody else have any, Beth Wheeling?
Thank you. I love our quaint downtown. Actually, I live there quite often, go to all the stores, the restaurants. It's really fabulous. I'm looking forward to whatever it is that we do to enhance it and get more people there and more businesses, however we end up doing that. If nothing happens down there, we keep having the same businesses that are going in there, the bookstores, the restaurants, and everything else that's happening down there, then I'm excited about that too. Sure, we'll have developers that do want to come down there. In fact, we had one before the planning board just on Monday that is making an investment in the downtown, which is very exciting. And my one question, I guess, kind of go back to the first meeting, and I apologize for missing the last meeting. Mm-hmm. Vacation.
It's okay.
But I think I might have asked the question then. I'm just curious, has our district for what we're studying been finalized? Are we doing the large area? Or are we looking at narrowed down areas or focusing on any small segments? Or is it the entirety of the significant area that was discussed?
That is a very good question, and I'm going to ask Brian to answer that question.
Sure.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that MAPC, they put in their scope of work to identify the districts that were going to be involved. Mm-hmm. When the original concept went to them, and we were doing the downtown commercial district, C1 district, the general residential 5, the single family residential 4, and the mixed business innovation district. Those there are pretty much everything within a half a mile circle of the train station. That takes in about 75% of the actual area. On the mapping that MAPC had, they had some what looked like little squiggly lines. That's actually a half a mile by road. That's the reason that was on there. I told her, please take that off. It's confusing a lot of people. Just go with the 5 zoning districts in general. Mm-hmm. If you think of it as a circle, a half, you know, with a radius of a half a mile also, either way. If you have concepts that involve a mile away from the downtown, that's fine. I mean, we're not going to, you know, slap you on the hand and say you can't say that. The focus area is right in the downtown and in that surrounding neighborhoods.
All right. Does that answer your question? Excellent. Does anybody else have any questions about March 7th? The forum. No?
I just have one quick question. Bruce hit it. The downtown split in two sections, one void cuts right through.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any thought of coming this way a little bit farther, being selective to the areas that we're approaching rather than just a massive, you know, half mile radius? Can we dial in, say, heading towards the Village Mall coming this way? These are going to be your potential growths coming. We're seeing it now. You have some undeveloped properties coming this way, or you're going to be seeing them coming on the market shortly. Maybe we target some of these areas in terms of the future growth too. Because like Bruce said, once you get into the downtown, to do the whole thing over, you're going to buy 10 properties. It's going to be a 10-year plan. By the time you get it all dialed in, one guy's going to die in the middle, so it's going to go to probate. It's going to be another 10 years by the time the whole thing's cleaned up. So let's be selective to the areas we go after. But I think the areas that we should potentially chase right now are the areas that are potential growth coming in front of us, because the lots are smaller, they're tighter, and they're trying to get more on at this point. And everybody's going to look for 100% coverage, which isn't going to happen, but you just want to plan it and schedule for controlled growth, not just full-blown. I don't know how many of you guys are here in the 80s and 90s, but I think Bruce and I were the only two that were part of this. It was a pretty...
I've heard a lot of
pretty... let's just say there's a lot going on. It's the fastest growing community in the country.
That's right.
For years. That's so we went through it. We grew it. I built in it. Bruce knows.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's just... I think maybe we stretch our wings this way, too, just to put the feel it out.
I think that's a great comment. I'm going to throw it over to Jamie. He's got his hand up to answer that.
So through you, Madam Chair. So for the purposes of this study, there's a contract with MAPC because a year ago or so, the big priority for the state and the priority for the council and many in the community was to look at around the train station about what to do around there in a variety of ways. There's a scope of services with MAPC with the jurisdiction that Brian just mentioned that we're contractually obligated to look at as part of the study. And as I mentioned earlier, there's going to be recommendations that will come out, and they're going to be very, I expect there to be very far ranging ideas about what to do about zoning in general, in addition to those zoning districts. The state has begun the process. I like to believe it's not over yet in terms of their regulations around the train station, because what the state is asking cities and towns to do, from what we know in our professional circles, that is still going to be an ongoing discussion at the state, because there's not a lot of towns that are very happy with the guidance that has come out so far relative to the half mile around the train station. That being said, the good part about this is we are getting a third party to review this. And I think to Bruce's comments earlier, everybody's got to remember, we're looking at by right. We're looking at special permit issues. We've gotten a lot of feedback from people that are upset about special permit requirements. And I think the staff agrees with many of those things. So it's not just simply what's the visual and the vanity of downtown. The zoning is going to direct those issues. And what are those issues like? Hopefully eliminating certain special permit requirements. Maybe that will incentivize people to take more. In terms of the question about spreading out the wings, Greg, there's nothing that prohibits any of us, this group, the staff, the planning board, the council, from just doing those things now. If people have ideas about what to do for C2 or other areas in town, in business zones, office zones, we can have those conversations whenever folks want. I don't think we necessarily need to do a large study. And then second, I would say, and finally, I'd say, you know, with the extra money that the council appropriated last year, we're doing these through grant funds for this state, for this study. But that's why those extra resources are there, to expand those ideas maybe, or look at other areas of town and use this entire downtown study as a community conversation starter, which quite frankly just has really not happened very much. It's always been little tiny dinks and dunks, little changes here and there, and that's good. We don't want to say we don't want to do small changes, but if we're talking about bigger picture stuff, we can have those conversations with everybody or anybody at any point. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just thinking if we could incorporate some of this portion of the study with the future of it. You got something to tie back to is what I'm getting to. Mm-hmm. You got some leg to it to fall back on.
I see this study as something that we could use for other areas as well.
Yeah.
Right.
We
so
target other areas that could
use. Maybe we could do them at the same time. Maybe.
Yeah. Just but throwing it out there as if it's another stepping stone to get what we're.
It's great. It's a great idea. Thank you for that.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyone else have a question about March 7th? Councilor Frangillo?
Less a question, more just a response to some of those things.
Yeah, if you want.
I think I've talked a lot about, what we're trying to do as a town is bring enough money in with the land that we have, like through taxes, to pay for the services that we want. And one of the reasons why we focus on the center of town is because that's where we get the most value per acre and sort of per service that we provide. We get the most value when we focus on the downtown and incrementally grow out from there. If we spread out, which we have done in the 80s and 90s, that's how we get into the situation where we're in, where we are not bringing in enough money to service those areas. Even your quiet downtown that no one wants to go to and is bringing in twice, sometimes three times as much per land, per square foot, than your, Franklin Village Mall, and then your, other areas on Route 140. So there's another reason to focus on the downtown, aside from offering, a vibrant and prosperous downtown that we all want.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Okay, I think we are ready to move on to the next agenda item. Thank you, Brian. And thank you to the EDC Plus Steering Committee. Thank you, Bruce, out there. And we will see everybody on Monday, March 7th, right?
Yep. Correct.
Yep. And now we're going to move on. If you guys want to hang out, you can hang out. If you don't, it's okay. We're going to move on to the second agenda item tonight, which is I asked for a downtown parking follow-up after our town council meeting on February 16th. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hand it over to Jamie, I guess. Yep. Right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I threw this on hoping we'd have a few minutes. I just wanted to give the opportunity for the councilors that were part of the discussion, particularly on the West Street residential concerns. Informative meeting at the council meeting, the council decided to move this issue to the EDC. And before I have the chief and the police department and other folks go out and start doing things, I thought it would be a good opportunity if the four members of the council, or if you want, to just give some direction about how individually all of you saw that conversation and to help give the staff a little bit of guidance before we come before you again about what are some of the menu options that you think you're interested in hearing from the chief further. Okay. There was a lot of issues brought up with that. I think just to recap, obviously there's been some residential concerns around some of the parking of some dean students or some non-dean students that might be parking in some spaces that aren't designated spaces. We found out the tickets, parking tickets in town are $15 per violation. We found out that you need to have a bunch of tickets before you can get towed. we talked about signage. We talked about bylaw restrictions, overnight parking. I just wanted to have a short conversation with folks to get any guidance from you about what I can instruct the chief to do to be prepared for any future meetings.
Okay, I have a couple of ideas. Does anybody want to go first?
I think they all do.
Councilor Jones.
It's Jones.
Oh, sorry. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, ma'am. A lot was said at the town council meeting in regards to some obvious next step direction in regards to the downtown. I think, as it's been mentioned several times already, raising the ticket price is obviously going to stir some pots. I think that's probably one of our best first steps. I think what I'd like to see, being the spring and everyone's going to be moved around a little bit, they still have a few months left. of school before they have to leave. If we could collect some data, if it's possible, I know it's a short period of time, but if we were capable of raising the fee on those parking tickets, expedite the process of increasing that fee, is that, will that take legislative action to do that? Or is that something we can automatically do?
It would likely be a bylaw amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
We usually vote on fees.
Yeah.
So I think we should raise the ticket fees and decrease the amount of tickets they get before they get towed, if that's something we have control over. So in other words, instead of, or is that the state?
Yeah, I think that's a more global state, state issue. Yeah. But I'll check with the chief for sure, Councilor Jones.
Okay. I think that's a good first step, because I do think that would be a punch in the wallet that would definitely stir, especially the freshman students who may be parking their vehicles on the streets in that neighborhood, who might rethink parking in that neighborhood more often if they're going to get ticketed at that kind of a price. And definitely something that we'll propose to the full council on getting some kind of legislative action put in place, expedited, just so we can kind of get that moving. Ideally, what I'd like to do is see some kind of data that would back that up. I do think that will scare them a little bit. One of the suggestions that was mentioned at the full council level was the idea of fixing up some of our signage. I think we definitely need to look into expediting the suggestions that the lieutenant had suggested, Riley, during the council meeting. Yeah. Those are probably the first two things I'd like to see. Other than that, I think we're going to have to wait until spring to see how things start to shake out a little more. The winter was obviously a little tough because of the snow and other stuff. And I understand people's concerns in regards to trash pickup and trying to keep their cars out in the roads. And the dean students could be a pain, noise issue. I think my only last suggestion, really only a few things, was to have asked the police chief if it's possible to have some additional patrollings of those neighborhoods, just maybe to check the numbers on the vehicles that the neighbors are reporting are parking in those places, as well as any noise issues that they have, just kind of step up police presence a little bit, just to maybe scare the students a little bit. That's about it.
Okay, thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor Frangillo, did you have your hand up?
Did, yeah. I think he identified the three, but the three that I had sort of buckets of things to consider. One is signage, both for clarity of parking, but also perception, right? Continually, we'll see studies that come in and say, we actually have enough parking, people just don't know where it is, right? So clearing perception is going to be key. Penalties, increasing the fee, and possibly looking at towing. And the third would be a permit, some sort of process by which you get a right to park in a certain place, right? When you have more demand for a good than there is supply of it, then you need to put a price on it to correct the market. And I think you can do that without, in a fair way.
Okay, Councilor.
I guess I have a question. Would it be possible to have a permit and say the permit parking, if you have a permit, you don't have to follow signs or like residential parking? If you have if you're a resident, you can get a permit, and then that's different than if you're non-resident. I mean, you still park there if you're non-resident at the correct times, but if you have a sticker.
You mean like a sticker for overnight parking, maybe?
Yeah.
Through you, Madam Chair. So ultimately, I think in a lot of our view, there's a couple dynamics with the sticker and the permit. I truly believe we're making a mountain of a molehill. There's more parking than we've ever had in downtown Franklin. And that's a different dynamic to Councilor Frangillo's point. You know, the supply and demand is actually the issue. There is far greater supply than demand. Mm-hmm. And I would take that to the Farrar's lot, the municipal lot behind Dean Bank, you know, all of the parking there. There's just so much parking. It's really a proximity and a human behavior issue, I think, more than anything else. So when we get into parking systems, we could do a parking permit, Councilor Sheridan, like you mentioned. And I'll have the chief cost it out just so folks can see, but this is not cheap, because then you have to have dedicated staff, you have to deal with the policing of it, and you're probably going to make more people unhappy because now they have to go down to the police station to do three pieces of mail. And then we all know the dynamic. We were all there one day, right? Where you go down to the city hall and you don't have the mail and the parking clerk says, oh, sorry, you have two pieces of mail. This one doesn't count. So you have to go stand in line again tomorrow with 40 people. It's probably not gonna be as bad as Boston, right? But so I'll have him cost it out for sure. The parking permit system. But you could do that, Councilor Sheridan. You absolutely could have that system.
You could continue.
Yeah, I actually agree. I do my own studies and live right there. There's plenty of parking.
Yeah.
And as far as like relatives and stuff, the in kids aren't there on Christmas and Thanksgiving. So so when relatives come to visit, that's not an issue.
That's a good point.
I just thought that after the last meeting that we've had people for Thanksgiving and that issue because most part of the dollars are out there.
I know.
And to Councilor Sheridan's point, one of the reasons when you look at the bylaw, and I made sure it was clear to the chief, right now the bylaw has 8-2, 8-12. There's different zones, right? And obviously we did those mainly to deal with commuter related issues.
Right.
But the other issue we had was exactly what you just pointed out, which is you got to be careful. We can change that area of town and create a new zone with new time requirements. There's a lot of flexibility we can do. But one of the things that you'll hear about in other neighborhoods is I don't want parking restrictions afternoon or after 10 or after 2 because of that exact point. People are visiting, sisters and brothers come over and they just want the free spots right in front of their house. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to go move my car 4 times? So, but we can work through with the EDC on all those issues in terms of the data that the police have in terms of and they've done down there quite a bit to see exactly the human behavior element more from a qualitative perspective of just like, what's the behavior of people. And it's pretty obvious from what the chief says that kids are just looking to get in the dorm. They run out, move their car once, they run back in and then they leave or whatever the dynamic is. So it just clearly is a college student problem. Of just some college kids trying to cut down the walk time on the walkway. I was down there the other day and, there are a lot of spots from the edge of a space with no parking to the curb. And it feels like from what the police are saying that those are the issues. So we may be able to look at striping, something else to designate and make sure that visual is there for folks that they're not parking between that space, which ends up being a full space. So the car seems to fit, but it's just if they looked up, the sign would say no parking from here to the curb. Right. And it just appears they're not looking up.
Okay.
Just a quick comment. Maybe some of the signage goes a long way too. Maybe time limit, 15-minute time limit on it. That way
you do that too.
You try to push them along so they're not taking advantage of it, going to class. Wait an hour and a half, come back out, ditch the car and go. Maybe a 15-20 minute time frame on it could help just to move them along.
We did do that to Greg's point very successfully in front of the library where we had the same problem and people mm-hmm. were always saying, I don't want to walk all the way across from the lot. Mm-hmm. And we put those two spots in on the edge of School Street that have
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
7 minutes.
And everybody in the audience is nodding their head because they've used the space and they like it.
I always go across the street, even if there's space. I just always walk across. I don't know. Well, so I agree with Councillor Jones. I think we should raise the fines. I was thinking kind of a tiered fine. So if the first one is 50, the second is 75, the third is 100 and a tow. That was just like I'm thinking like, well, how can we make this serious? Mm-hmm. I think maybe extend the 2-hour parking limit to later on in the day so that they're not there from like 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, that maybe that would help. I don't know. I know Lieutenant Riley was awesome. He has so many great suggestions. The signage is definitely one. It's very confusing. We need to help out people that way. There's also, I know that Lisa Pian is here on the call, but she suggested that we have somebody that actually does ticketing regularly, like that's their job. I don't know if we can do that again. And since after the, now that we're after the pandemic, like through the pandemic, people weren't really using the train parking at all. Now that the pandemic is hopefully going to be over soon, we still aren't going to be that same normal. Everybody goes down parks, gets on the train. People aren't going to need it that spot every single day. So I know that we've talked about this a little bit about maybe changing the way we rent the spaces to people. Do we do a one day thing? Do we do a weekly thing? And that might free up some more space.
Just talked to Jamie. Lieutenant Riley yesterday about it. And the staff down at the PD for a few months has been looking at some of the a one day fee, a weekly pass, a monthly pass, a quarterly and an annual. And they're looking into some kiosks, you know, some solar power kiosks to manage those. We did do an analysis on that about 5 years ago. And actually, we were going to lose money because of the cost of the fees and the cost of the service. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's when we were, when the supply and demand, we had, you know, limited supply for a huge demand for a quarterly commuter rail pass. And we had to hold a lottery just to make sure right. people had a fair bite at the apple. We always had probably 10 to 20 more applicants than spaces. But obviously that dynamic has changed. And now I think is a great opportunity to revisit that. So Lieutenant Riley and Chief Lynch, we just talked about it yesterday, and they are going to start to look back at what technology is out there so we can try to enhance that a bit.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Melanie, I got some experience with Dean parking. If you want to hear it. Listen, back in the day, I owned a towing business in town. And Dean used to call all the time and it wasn't that people were parked on West Street, but people just parked in their lot that didn't have a it didn't have a sticker or anything else like that. And I got to tell you, I made a fortune up there towing cars out of there. And I got to tell you that I don't think I ever towed the same car twice, because once they got towed and they had to call their parents, they either had to come and get the car or they had to fork up the money. Right. I can tell you for a fact that I don't think we ever got anybody twice. I don't know what the Mass General Law says about how many times you got to give them a break before you tow the car. I think you can tow it anytime the police department orders a tow. But, but on private, in Dean, I towed a lot of cars out of there and I never towed the same one twice that I can remember. So, you know, once they pay that fee one time, they'll think twice about it. And from what I read in the minutes of the meeting, evidently Dean has plenty of parking up off of Hillside Road. It's just that the kids don't want to walk that far. And but once they pay the tow fee, the tow fee and the storage charge until they come get their vehicle out, they'll think twice about parking in the wrong place again. So just something to think about.
It's true.
I know it's true. It's all right. Thank you for that. I know Lisa's out there. Lisa, do you have any comments?
I'm mute, Lisa.
I think you're unmuted now. There you are.
Yes. I have a few comments. I know Mel and I talked about this. I mean, parking has been an issue for a long time in discussion. I mean, Jeff Nutting, you know, did so much when we took the meters out, and there were so many meetings and so many discussions. But as I said to Mel this afternoon, as the downtown changes, parking has to change. You can't just say, well, we do it this way, and then 3 years later, we're going to keep doing it the same way. So I think most of you know, but maybe some of you on this call don't know, we have 6 new businesses downtown. You know, we have the bakery, we have the bookstore, we have a clothing store, we have, a coin store, we have a gift store. We have a lot of great new businesses coming in. We have a lot of great businesses that have been there for years. So there's going to be a lot more people coming downtown. So I don't have any comments about West Street, the residential area, but I do get phone calls and complaints regarding East Central Street. Because again, we have some new businesses and so there's more people parking down there. And now that the pandemic hopefully is on its way out, more people are coming out with the nice weather. So a couple of thoughts that I had, and a couple, I went and spoke to some businesses today about, you know, what their thoughts are. First of all, I'm sure most of you know, there's quite a few buildings that don't have parking for their tenants. And they happen to be on, well, East and West Central Street and Main Street. I won't go through those, but the partnership is in one of the buildings where we have parking, but people are parking in our spots because there's not enough for some of the other buildings on that same block. So there's a lot of shared parking. You know, obviously H&R Block has a busy season. They have five or six clients coming. But then, you know, in September, H&R Block isn't an issue. When the Dean kids are here, they take a lot of parking. When in the summer, there's a lot of parking because the Dean kids are gone. But anyway, a couple suggestions. One, some larger signs that the two-hour parking. You know, I think people have to be reminded again. Yes, the Dean College students, you know, we see those plates. We know who they are. I'm not sure why we need what we have and any kind of overnight parking. I think part of it is some of the students park there. And then in the morning, you know, if they're sleeping in 7 or 8 o'clock, their car is still there. And that affects, you know, the bakery and some of the other businesses. So I think there could be a message on the bottom of the sign that there's no overnight parking. So, you know, that needs to go away. We don't really need overnight parking on East Central Street. So larger signs, I think the Ferrara's lot needs to be looked at and shuffled a bit because of, like everyone said, there's not as much need for the commuter parking. You know, I went in and spoke to the employee at the cell phone place on East Central Street. And he's one of the ones, because it's not just Dean College students, there's people that allow their employees to park on Main Street and East Central Street, which is terrible, right? So this, you know, young kids, their employees are parking there and moving his car every two hours, which, you know, is allowed. So I went in and, you know, I talked to him and he's like, well, where am I parking? Because his building doesn't have parking. He doesn't have a parking spot in the back. So, you know, you go to Ferrara's parking lot and yeah, there's parking in the afternoon, right? But he gets there at, you know, 9:30. I don't know what time he gets there, 9:30, 10 o'clock, whatever. So I think there can be some ideas about where those employees can park and let the businesses know, say your employees have an option to park here. So again, if we need to re-educate, there's a lot of new businesses downtown. Some of these employees are not from Franklin. You know, they might be coming in from Rhode Island. They might be coming from other towns. So they don't know where the parking is. I think there needs to be a re-education of that. The increased ticketing, I think if you're talking about, again, the West Street situation and you're talking about Dean College students, mm-hmm. I would agree. But I don't know, I don't think we want a $50 ticket for somebody who might have stayed a little over the 2 hours in the bakery because they were having lunch and they come out for a $50 ticket. That's going to get bad press for our downtown. Remember, we want people to come downtown. When they used to get the $15 parking ticket because they didn't put the extra quarter in for the meters, people were livid. So I think you just have to be careful. I think we need to get it out to residents that ticketing is going to increase. There's going to be more, whether it's a meter maid or a police officer, there's going to be more ticketing. Give people a heads up so they know, you know, you might have parked over 2 hours before, but now you're going to get ticketed. I think you got to watch the price of that ticket. I do agree with people that have second and third offenses, increase that, right? Because they're taking advantage and then tow them. But I don't think that's going to be the mom with the two kids at the bakery or at the bookstore. You know, we want to, you know, get to the people who are taking advantage of that, maybe parking overnight.
Okay, Lisa, yeah. We're running out of time.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to cut you off for tonight.
Right. I wanted to get all that in. You had asked me to join the meeting, so I wanted to make sure I got all that in there.
This conversation will continue. I think Jamie has enough information now to go talk to the chief and Lieutenant Riley and know what we want to see happen, or at least a good discussion. Is that true, Jamie?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. And with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.